01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a blockbuster weekend across Scottish football. Rangers and Celtic both lose on the same weekend for the first time in 6 years, meaning the gap stays at 2 points. Brendan Rodgers could be in hot water over his post-match referee comments as the Hoops appeal Yang's red card, and it all means it was a good weekend for Motherwell and Hearts, as well as St Mirren and Hibs, and Aberdeen's struggles continue. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans.
Using the metric, a draw is a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe. Rangers had a catastrophe on Saturday, and then Celtic had a catastrophe on Sunday. The difference is, Rangers had a catastrophe without consequences. Celtic failed to take advantage of Rangers' loss to Motherwell and take the chance to go back to the top of the league, and they might not get a second chance between now and the end of the season. Take Callum McGregor out of the Celtic team, there's no leadership and no inspiration. Mind you, Tynecastle was a masterclass in inefficient refereeing, and Brendan Rodgers was quite right to call it out. There should be no attempt to punish the man for telling the truth. It's becoming a growing worry in our game. He said they were incompetent. He's right.
I'm just trying to think, if you were to come up with, if you were to build a person based on their professional allegiances, past and current, and their personal thoughts on Scottish football, if there's anyone who had a better weekend than Andy Halliday.
Well,
not quite sure that was possible, Gordon.
Apart from the broken beak.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll get to that. But there you are. Your current team goes to Ibrox and does the business. Your old team does the business at home to Celtic. And in case you hadn't noticed, there was a couple of talking points along the way.
Well, when the first time the Old Firm are defeated since February 2018 in the same weekend, you could imagine you're going to be talking about it quite a lot on the Monday, Gordon. But I don't think there'll be too much in terms of tactical dynamism or how that went about. I'd imagine there's quite a fair bit of controversy, and I just have this sneaky feeling that 2 hours isn't quite enough tonight
low
to
block,
cover all.
Low
all
block
boundaries.
Won't get a mention.
Nope. We'll see. We'll see what we go. 01419511025. That is the number you need. You want to talk about results and formations and tactics, as Andy Halliday says, we're here for you. You Motherwell fans and Hearts fans, I know you'll think you're not getting the credit you deserve, so come on down. Celtic and Rangers fans, what about the impact on the title race? And of course, there might be one or two things said about penalties, handballs, red cards, decisions not given at Ibrox. There was a lot on there as well. So 01419511025. And we've not heard the end of it, even if we do rumble on, because Brendan Rodgers may well end up in hot water for his comments after the game. Celtic are going to appeal the decision, so when that is announced later in the week, we'll argue about it all over again. That's what we do, isn't it? 01419511025. Keep the calls coming nice and early if you want to try and get through to whet your appetite. Not that you need it. What was your result of the weekend? Now, there are some obvious ones. Yeah. You're getting to pick first, so he'll have to choose whatever you don't.
And I'm picking the most obvious one. 1997 was the last time Motherwell won a league game at Ibrox. I was there. I saw my old pal Oney Coyle score the two goals that beat Rangers that day. And that now Motherwell have come up with the shock result of the season so far. So it's Rangers 1, Motherwell 2 for me.
Obviously, Motherwell's Andy Halliday, you would have chosen that. You now can't pick something else.
Well, it's quite obvious I've got to go for Hearts then. 18 years since they've went back-to-back beating Celtic in the league. I thought it was a fantastic game, fantastic occasion. Plenty of controversy as well, which I'm sure we'll get onto. But in terms of the result, I'll give mine to Hearts then.
Go on then, goal of the weekend.
I'm going Lauren Shankland. I just thought the hair-trigger nature of it. He's the best striker in the country by a mile. And the way he took the chance and snapped it behind Joe Hart, no wonder he's the main man. And he should be the main man for Scotland as well. Let's drop all pretense. There's nobody to touch him. Get him in the team, Stevie Clark.
He is deadly, that's for sure. Goal of the weekend for you, Andy?
Well, Aberdeen don't have a lot to shout about just now. No. And I'm sure they don't take any positivity out of me giving them an award on a Monday. But I'll certainly give them my goal of the weekend. Conor Bannon, what a strike. Just to roll up the sole of his foot to set himself up. And an absolute howitzer into the top corner. A bit off brand for me, you know, I like a team goal, but that was a wonder strike.
Okay, howler of the weekend.
Oh,
how are you going to pick?
Well, I'll just make it the general term, referees. The standard is horrifically low. Brendan Rodgers was right to call it out. Every game over the weekend in the Premiership had examples of a refereeing body who are in severe decline. No wonder Crawford Allen, the man in charge of referees, didn't come out today with any form of comment on the weekend's activity. What could he say? And my worry is that somebody's going to pay dearly for this. Somebody will lose a cup final or get relegated. Something major will happen.
How's that different from what's ever been the case, though, in football history?
Oh, Gordon, it really is.
I'm talking about the notion that things can be won and lost, influenced by a bad decision. How's that any different? I'm keen for your thoughts on that.
With VAR brought into the party now, there are things happening now that simply didn't happen in the past.
That's not true. Obviously, VAR wasn't there in the past. Referees' mistakes have been made since the dawn of time.
But not at this level of incompetency.
I think that's very recency biased of you. But anyway, Andy, I'm not pretending it was a vintage weekend, by the way.
Well, I don't want to veer too far away from Hughes Hill of the weekend, so I'll just double it up and I'll go VAR. I think VAR's there to aid the referees. So any poor performances that referees may be having, VAR's there to aid them and make it better. And I don't think it's being used properly at the moment.
Finishing a positive, main man, top performer. Doesn't need to be a player, it can be something else outside the box.
And I've gone outside the box. I've gone for the Motherwell manager, Stuart Kettlewell. Rangers, Hibs, St Johnstone, Aberdeen and Ross County all fired their manager since the start of this season. And many people thought that Stuart Kettlewell should have been number six on the list. But he's held on in there. And he's held his nerve. And he's withstood the criticism from the fans. And he's moving Motherwell in the right direction.
And yours, top performer, to round us off.
Well, I've got to get my Motherwell bit in somewhere, don't I? And I'm going to go Liam Kelly. Took a lot of criticism this season. Some of it unfair. Some of it, I think Liam will hold his hands up and say fair. And what a time to get the performance of the week. I thought he was outstanding at the weekend. All in front of a Scotland manager, Steve Clarke, as well. And it so seems that Steve Clarke then goes to another game the next day and another Scotland goalkeeper has a very good 90 minutes. So I thought Liam was outstanding on Saturday and he's my performer of the weekend.
Come on then, 01419511025. Whatever you're thinking after a busy weekend, this is the place to share it. I think we can all agree on that. Michael is in Greenock. What have you got, Michael?
Hello, Gordon. Thanks for taking me on. Is it Sue and Andy?
It is.
Hi, Michael.
Please. Thanks, guys. Okay. Just going on a bit. This game yesterday, right? See this VAR, and Shu had to write in the heat. John Beaton, incompetent. But it's been going on for far too long. See, all the decisions are seeming to be going against Celtic when it's sending halves, when it's penalties. The three goals were never penalties. It was never a red card. Because, as I say, Celtic's penalty was very soft, but Don Robertson gave the penalty. And it didn't go to VAR.
Just quickly on that then, you've just admitted that Celtic got a penalty they probably shouldn't have got, but two seconds before that you said all the decisions are going against Celtic.
No, right, but okay, I apologise on that, right, but we got the penalty, which was never a penalty. So as I say, I would rather see my team getting a penalty when it was a Stonewall penalty. But as I said, I took it yesterday, but I'd have missed it. So I forgot all the thing, and then the young boy... Awata gets sent off, which is crazy. That was the craziest sending off I've ever seen. But as I say, for that to go to VAR and Don Robertson to turn that back onto a red card is unbelievable. This VAR is spoiling football all around the world, and it'll never get. It's here forever, and it's here to stay. And Sue was right. But is Brendan Rodgers going to get into trouble for calling out John Beaton, which should have been called out years ago?
I think he probably will.
Can I finish, Gordon?
No, sorry, I thought you were asking a question there. When you said, is Brendan Rodgers going to get in trouble, I thought you were asking.
But a man that sits, everybody knows he supports Rangers. He's been seen in the Bells Hall Oil, which is, I know I shouldn't be saying.
Well, here's the thing, the accuracy of this, going to not do this to me, because I can't remember if that was the pub in question, and I don't actually think it was. But now somebody's going to make me remember the actual name, whatever pub he was or wasn't in, Hugh. And it doesn't take long to go down this road, because what are you, incompetent or are you biased? Because those are different things. And you've said you agree with Michael up to a point, that Brendan Rodgers was right to call out John Beaton, but there is quite a clear rule here which says that managers or any team official under the jurisdiction of the Scottish FA in an interview cannot indicate bias or incompetence.
Yeah.
So if you use the word incompetence, rightly or wrongly, I think you've probably breached that rule, have you not?
Well, let the SFA do something about it then, and then we'll discuss it.
It seems quite clear that, though, doesn't it? If you're not allowed to indicate bias or incompetence, and you use the actual word incompetence, chances are they'll take a look at that. Yeah.
Well, they have to. It's written down in the rules in black and white. To summarise the decisions, I thought Celtic's penalty was a nonsense. I thought Hart's penalty was an even greater nonsense. I thought that Yang was very unfortunate to be red carded, and I thought that Celtic got away with one with the Hart's offside decision. Having said that, I think that Brendan Rodgers, after the game, the repeated mention of John Beaton, I think, was a dog whistle to the Celtic fans, because the Celtic fans do believe, and I'm only setting out the story here as it has always been, the Celtic fans do believe that John Beaton is an awkward referee in Celtic matches, I'll put it that way.
But see, on that then, Michael, right, so we very quickly went to suggestions of bias or whatever about 90 seconds after you've said that VAR operated, or VAR was John Beaton yesterday.
Yes.
Recommended that Celtic get a penalty that you've admitted shouldn't have been a penalty. That's a pretty weird bias, isn't it?
But I don't think it went to VAR, Gordon. I think it was Don Robertson that gave the penalty right away. I don't think it went to...
No, he did, but my point is, if he was so biased against Celtic, he could have tried to intervene in that, couldn't he?
Well, he probably could have. I know it was just his, but I'm just saying, it seems a lot of decisions have went against Celtic since VAR started.
But I can also recall matches, Michael, when John Beaton refereed Old Firm games and Celtic have won them. You know, it doesn't necessarily follow that John Beaton referees a Celtic match and Celtic lose.
I know that. I'm just stating that every time he seems to hang me with Celtic, we've always got told we're paranoid, didn't we? We've been paranoid for the last how long years, many years with Celtic and Rangers, West of Scotland, Tripper.
Well, all I can say, and I always say in answer to that, you know, if there is a conspiracy, how did Celtic get 11 of the last 12 titles?
Let's go through the incidents, Andy, that Michael mentions, because there is a lot of debate to be had, for sure. Right, Celtic's penalty first.
Celtic's penalty that was missed?
Yeah.
No penalty. I think, it falls under the category where you can say Yang's clever, but he's only clever if the referee buys it. And I thought Don Robertson bought it. I thought Yang was the one that initiated the contact. He flings his cell in front of Cochrane. No. And like I says, initiates the contact, then falls. No penalty for me.
Okay, in order. Where are we? Yang's red card thereafter.
Do you know what? I really feel for Yang putting myself in his shoes, because clearly his eyes are on the ball. He's trying to pluck it out of the sky. He takes a touch. He studs, then make contact with Alex Cochrane's face, and I do feel for him, but I don't lambast the referee in VAR for that. So I can understand why a red card was given. We've seen similar instances in the past. Kyle Vassell at Easter Road's one that springs to mind, where Kamarna actually appealed that and it was still upheld. Olesanya was at Munster against Celtic this season. Some could argue it's a wee bit different, but again, falls under that category. Is it endangering an opponent? I think that's what the referees went on, sent him off.
The handball that Celtic were penalised for.
Awful. And again, I think my opinion on Yang's red card will divide opinions, but I think my opinion on the penalties will unite opinions, because I don't know anyone that's played the game at any level that can think that is possibly a penalty kick. I just don't understand. And for me, my understanding of the rule was, if it deflects off, you know, I see Stuart Finlay against Rangers at Rugby Park, deflects off his boot, hits his hands, it's not a penalty because that's a rule. It deflects off Alistair Johnson half a yard away. Like, I don't understand what can I want to do. It's, for me, it's, again, I try and put myself in the referee's shoes like I did with Yang and say he's following the letter of the law. Maybe he's got that right. I feel he's hard done by, but I can understand where they came to that decision. I don't understand how they came to that decision for the penalty.
Not for me either. You know, it's impossible. We've entered this VAR age of unfathomable decisions, and that how that can be a penalty is beyond me. Likewise, the penalty that Celtic got. So here we are. All this takes place in one half of the game. You know, and the sending off of Yang, obviously, the numerical disadvantage where Celtic are concerned, has to tell the longer the game goes on. But it was just a bad afternoon for officialdom.
Mm. I think as well, Gordon, listen, the handball rule and the way it has been reffed over the last 18 months, 2 years, maybe even 3 years, has been huge controversy.
Everywhere.
Everywhere, absolutely. I think this year, I think there's been at times where we've seen a bit more consistency in the way it's been refereed, but over the last 10 days or 2 weeks, for me, there's been zero consistency, especially this week. We look at when Rangers played Kilmarnock at Rugby Park the other day, St Mirren up at Ross County last weekend, and then Celtic and Hearts game on Sunday, yesterday. For me, you just see complete inconsistencies all over the place with 6-7 different incidents.
Thanks to Michael. It's a great time to call. It's a lively old start, and you can get involved right now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Evans are here, and those phone lines look red hot to me. It must have been a busy weekend, Hugh Evans. Yeah. Must be all those Motherwell fans queuing up to praise the team's performance the weekend. Gary is a Celtic fan on next. Gary, how do you feel about all this refereeing business over the weekend?
What can you make of it, man? It's firstly, good evening to Andy, Hugh, and yourself, Gordon. It's just an absolute bomb scary a weekend. Some of the decisions, and I'll put Celtic's penalty in there as well. Never a penalty, but like Andy Halliday says, surely if they've got to get an ex-player in there in the VAR studio, taking a common sense approach, and then actually just follow the rules if you're the referee, because the rules does, as again as Andy says, if it deflects off a player, it's not a penalty. But Why are we allowing in this country a referee who has clearly got allegiances to a certain team to have anything to do with making decisions in a Celtic game?
But we have to delve into this. Gary, we have to delve into this matter, because John Beaton has refereed Celtic Rangers games where he's given controversial goals for Celtic against Rangers. He's refereed those games in which Celtic have won. Obviously, there will have been others where Rangers win. But you have to be careful with this instant appraisal that every time John Beaton referees a Celtic game, Celtic lose. It's simply not the case. So
Or any refs for that matter. We're turning it quite personal, which I just don't know how appropriate it is. Gary, I was inundated with Celtic fans and opposition fans for a long time saying how disgraceful it was that Rangers hadn't had a penalty against them. They eventually got a penalty against them against Kilmarnock. Who was the ref that gave it? It was John Beaton. And then the independent review panel on VAR decision said that that was wrong and it was incorrect. So none of this stuff really stacks up when you look at who gave what decision.
Okay, well, can you tell me then, there's an incident last week in the Motherwell game.
Right.
Where Theo Bear nearly took somebody's head off. There's a good still of it.
Is there a video of it, by the way? And I'm being deadly serious. I'm not trying to be sneaky about this. Has anybody got a video of that? Because please send me, because everybody keeps sending me the still image. And Andy, you were obviously involved as a Motherwell player. I can't remember it, obviously.
Sorry. And obviously you've said to me and I can't remember the incident either, but we've also seen the incident at Kilmarnock, and by all accounts, if it's refereed the same, O got away with one that day. So listen, I've been in the game long enough, I've played with different clubs long enough, where I was at Hearts at the start of the season, who have felt that they've been very hard done by referees and VAR this year. I've now went to Motherwell, where in recent instances they felt they've been very hard done by Ben VAR and referees. So listen, it's up and down the country, I can understand it completely, but to suggest bias from certain referees is
Gary's other point about get former players in there and get them in the VAR box. Gary, you know yourself, the truth of this country is you couldn't have a Scottish player in there, because somebody will say, ah, oh, he's got affiliations to Celtic or possibly affiliations to Rangers.
Gary might be the person that says that.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah. So the point is, you're going to have to get players from another country then. If you want former players in, they'll need to come from another country, Gary.
Who's the biggest neutral Scottish football player out there that we can think of?
It was funny because I just nearly fell off this chair when Gary said get ex-players in for common sense. Gary's not met the same ex-players I've met. Gary, these guys understand the rules much less than you and I, believe me. I do take the point about maybe having the experience of those situations. I suppose the bit I'm trying to get to, Gary, with the level of it is you and the previous Celtic fan, very fair to admit that Celtic shouldn't have got a penalty either. So how do you go from that to this all being stacked against Celtic if you're the one that's telling me Celtic got a penalty that they shouldn't have got? I don't understand how both can be true.
Because ultimately, the previous caller said, it was also given by the on-field referee. So, but by the way, John Bean's got history. This is a one-off. John Bean's got history. I mean, there's one at Ibrox where, against Livingston actually, where Conor Goldson nearly takes somebody's head off in the six-yard box. The Rangers score a goal from it and there's no action taken. And again, you know what I'm talking
about.
But
Gary, see on this, right? Do you know what? This is what bias looks like, Gary, because you're going to accuse other people of being biased whilst not acknowledging that, see, actually, you're probably biased, aren't you? If you're being honest about it.
I'm slightly biased, of course, but I'm just...
But here's the reason, right? And here's the bit I'm going to tell you, because I'm not saying that wasn't a foul by Conor Goldson. I was there. I was at that game and I worked it, and I remember Conor Goldson flew in. Livy were hard done by. You've just described Conor Goldson as nearly taking somebody's head off, and yet David Martindale's complaint after the game, because I was there, was that his player had a stud mark on his leg. So you've gone from taking his head off for an incident that actually caught him on the knee.
A high foot. It's the same thing. Well, okay.
There's high and there's high. There's knee height and there's head height, and you've gone head height. So this is what I'm talking about, how we can just twist things ever so slightly to suit our own agendas, can't we?
Gordon, was that Conor Goldson incident a free kick? Yes or no?
that's not really for me to say. What I'm telling you is that you come on here and say nearly took his head off, which just isn't true. Not even according to David Martindale or anyone else.
Gary, there's history, you said. Gary, you said there was history. The night that Reo Hatate scored two goals in the first half against the Rangers at Celtic Park, and the first goal comes when there's a clash of heads and there's a Rangers player on the ground, but the goal stands because the referee felt it should. Who is the referee?
But see, to be honest to you, see before Gary answers, are we not giving this whole debate more credit than it deserves? Whether you or I can pick a decision that John Beaton has or has given against Celtic or Rangers is entirely irrelevant.
Just the expression we're giving it
too much credit.
I understand that, but this is the country that this particular part of the country believes this to be true. There are supporters who believe that certain referees go out with the avowed intention of making sure that Celtic do not win a match, particularly against Rangers. And when Gary mentioned the expression, there's history. Yes, and there's history which shows that John Beaton gave Celtic a goal when the Rangers players were protesting that it should not have been awarded because a Rangers player was on the ground with a head knock.
Again, and I do get that, but there is no number of incidents that you or I should have to call up either way that proves or disproves this point. It has to be done in better faith than that. It just has to be, or the full thing's burst, and Gary and everybody should just stop going to games if they genuinely believe that.
I've always maintained that if you believe that the game is, to use the colloquialism, bent, then why do you go? But it is the case. Oh, I hate the word, but the narrative is that John Beaton is biased against Celtic.
Again, I even think already this has gone a bit too far, if you ask me. This naming of individuals, making it all about them, let's be honest, the person in question was the VAR yesterday. There was a referee on the field in Don Robertson who, in the last couple of weeks, has shown that he is more than willing to go to a monitor and stand by his original decision. So it's all getting a bit personal, Andy. I know that we thrive on this sort of mad intensity and this rivalry, and at times we go, how great is it? There's nowhere like it. But this is the side of it that actually lets everybody down.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I can promise you, Gary, if you gave me 10 minutes off air, I'm sure I'll show plenty of clips where John Beaton showed maybe slightly dubious decisions towards Celtic. Again, I reiterate, the suggestion that a referee is completely biased or unbiased towards one side is completely unfounded. I'll even admit, actually, on radio, I'll absolutely not be naming the fellow in question. But I've always felt that a referee has been almost unfair to me at times. But then when you take your emotion away from the game, you thought, he's just got the decision wrong. That's just the nature.
I know
of,
who it is. I know who you think's
probably
got
will,
it in
but
for
But
that's
you. Just the nature of football. Mm-hmm. You always have that feeling. I've talked to, I've been at clubs before where they feel as if referees and certain individuals referee them differently. It's the beauty of the West of Scotland and the world we live in.
I'm glad you called it beauty. I think it looks quite ugly from where I'm sitting. But anyway, thank you to Gary, 01419511025. This was Brendan Rodgers' take on the refereeing decisions in that game yesterday.
My feeling is the game is decided by the officials on the field and outside of the field. And you guys will know me long enough and around enough to know that I don't really comment on officials, and I know they make mistakes and whatever else. But today that felt, it felt was really, really poor officiating. I think the first one, the sending off, there's no force. You know, if you show a still image of that, then of course you'll see a foot up with a head near it. But it's not the reality of the move. If you watch the move again, and Don got it actually right. On the field, it was a high boot. Okay, so it's a yellow card. No malice, no force. For John Beaton to actually look at that in VAR, supposedly under no pressure, and to say that was a sending off, I find it incredible. And then the second one's worse. So to have a penalty go against you for that, then there'll be penalties every single weekend. I don't know what he's supposed to do. You know, Tomo, he's jumping, he's got a nudge, he's coming down. Ball falls onto his arm. There's no intention to move it or anything. And then you get the penalty against, you know. And again, you get the chance to look at it. But so to give that, it left us with those two decisions, really left us with an uphill task in the game. And credit to my players because they fought, they kept going, and they got a little bit of luck in the second half. Their keepers made a few good saves. You know, we can get one of them, it changes the momentum of the game. But it was a poor day for the officials. VAR is not the problem here. I think that's what's clear. It's competence, you know. And I think the first one is a great example of the game being refereed outside of the pitch. The referee made the decision, and someone outside made another decision to say it was a sending off. So that's the game being refereed outside of the field. And in big games, that costs you. But I think when I see that level of incompetence is the only word I can use, then that makes me worry for the game, because such a tight title race, which it is, it's fantastic, it's great to be involved in, that can make the difference. And that today made the difference for us. That today was awful officiating, and what was a big game for us.
Well, he leaves the SFA no option but to pull him up for his remarks. Celtic incidentally will appeal Yang's red card. But there is a danger, and having said since 6 o'clock that the decision-making was appalling in the first half of the game, having said all of that and gone through each incident, Celtic had a penalty and Adam Eder made a complete mess of it, and that began to change the complexion of the afternoon. He was responsible for setting a tone. He was tentative. He looked to me as if he really would rather not be there taking it. And I don't think that Celtic did well enough over the course of the afternoon. I think the loss of McGregor was so telling. There's no one to take his place. And Celtic did not play well. And the tone was set by Adam Eder's awful penalty. Other than that, Brendan Rodgers has gone in full steam ahead on the officials, and the SFA will now take him to task, and we will have days and days of discussing this particular issue.
Davey is on the line. Davey's a Rangers fan. What is your take on all of this, Davey?
Hi, good evening, lads.
Hello.
Hi, Davey.
Just a quick one on the incidents, just nicking through them quick. The Rangers won on the Saturday with a penalty with Silva. I thought it was, although I'm a Rangers fan, I did think it was quite obvious because it was a double tackle and a follow through. It took them on Sky this morning 5 seconds. It took 5 minutes on Saturday. They also said about the follow-through with the lad Casey, which I think if you analyse it, he did lift his, raise his boot after he played through. Going on to Sunday...
Let's do those two quickly, Davey, because they're the first time that they've been mentioned, and I know that lots of teams felt hard done by this weekend. Andy, the two that stand out from Ibrox... What did you make of them, the ones Davey mentions?
My understanding actually during and after the game was the penalty was given against Dan Casey. And when I thought that, I thought we were hard done by. But when I soon found out after that it was against Stephen O'Donnell, then you know, hold your hands up. It's probably, yeah, it's a penalty.
To be fair, we're talking, think of the time we're wondering here about getting the right decision. I know it takes long and I know it's annoying, but it was quite hard to see initially.
Plus, I've said before, I think incidents take too long. But see, ultimately, if the right decision's made in the end, you can accept it. And I think there was something in the phase of play where they're not checking, am I right in saying that, Gordon? I'm sure there was something at the other end at the start of the phase of play that maybe took an extra minute and a half or so.
The more contentious one does seem to be Dan Casey.
Yeah, which,
what are you saying for your teammate?
Which we can admit to the listeners that me and you have debated for a good couple of days now. And listen, it's a difficult one for me because I remember being on the show 2-3 months ago when Dujon Sterling was sent off for a very, very similar incident. Not exactly the same, but a similar incident.
And I don't think they're that similar, but anyway.
But I personally do it in terms of the force that they both went into the tackle, which was a big talking point from Dujon Sterling's tackle and a big talking point for Dan Casey's. I think a yellow card was the right decision for Dan. I think, again, when you actually watched, and again, I say this, I hate when people refer to still images because for me, they don't show the true reflection of the tackle. Dan wins the ball, his follow through takes him through, and I don't think the contact that's made with Ross McCausland is that. See if Ross McCausland's foot was planted, and thankfully it's not, and it catches him flush on the knee. Again, we're maybe talking about a different scenario, but I think he almost brushes by him. And again, you can then argue, is it excessive force? Yep, it is. And I can understand where the argument comes in involved there, but you know what I think about excessive force. It's not something that I like using as a sort of barometer, but I know referees do. But for me, I think ultimately a yellow card was the right decision.
Yep. You asked me at the time on Saturday, and I said, I think yellow is correct.
It's one of those ones, isn't it? If you're saying it's all about force and everything else is,
then
you can see that there is force there. Fascinates me because the view is very, like the view from behind Ross McCausland looks really, really bad. I think we would agree for Dan Casey. That's the one everyone was sending in over the weekend. The sort of wide, high up view shows just how early Dan Casey touches that ball whilst Ross McCausland is about 6 feet away. Or that's certainly what it looks like from the wide. But then I've seen referees like Dermot Gallagher or Bobby Madden have their say and say it's all about the force, it's just about the excessive force.
Yeah, and I think that is one that's going to divide opinions. I do. I've seen a lot of people say they feel as if it's a red card. I've seen people say otherwise. And again, it's one of them where I can understand both arguments, but for me, I've argued this case quite a lot. I've been very, very consistent about it. I just don't see how he can't go in with force. He's travelling 10 yards to get to the ball anyway. He's travelling at pace. I think he's going to go in with force regardless. And I don't feel the endangering the opponent element is there.
The big problem, of course, is that Dan Casey then goes and scores the winning goal when all the Rangers fans are saying he shouldn't have been on the park.
And I don't think Davey and other Rangers fans will be talk about the incident in isolations, but fundamentally I certainly hope that Ross McCausland's okay because he's came off from the tackle and he's someone that's done really well, so hopefully that's not a long one.
But listen, before we go any further, there was a Motherwell player who got a whack in the face and ended up with a broken nose. Don't hear them crying about it.
But
it's looking alright. You got it straightened up.
I wouldn't say it's looking alright because that's the third or fourth time, but listen, it doesn't affect the look, so I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah, I know it's like a Toblerone.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. A soldier just gets it. Just takes a broken nose, gets on with it. Do you know what I mean, Hugh?
There's no accusations. A couple of minutes later, he looked at me a bit like that. You need to wipe your face. I was like, what? Done that. I look Terry Butcher.
Because you text me saying that you'd broken your nose. So I watched the highlights back and I could see the very moment. I saw you sort of doing this. So I rewound it and I said, which one of those bad Rangers players was it that got poor Andy? You need to watch it back and you can tell. Anyway, Davey, sorry, we went on for quite some time. What else did you have on your mind?
Just going on to yesterday's game, guys. Again, I like to watch the Monday morning scenario with Dermot Gallagher. He agreed, and I thought it was at the time too that the first one, the penalty for Celtic, the Celtic player actually went across and fell, but putting his body across in the angle he did, he brought the fell on. So I would have said that was a penalty, agreeing with what the referee said on this morning. Regarding the foot high with Young, if you watch it again and analyse it, you could actually see Young sees Cochrane coming and he doesn't go to adjust his foot. He sees him coming. And with regards to the one with Young, if you think back to the one with St Mirren, the St Mirren striker on Joe Hart the other week going for the ball, clearly going for the ball. Mr. Rogers was screaming for him to go off. That one yesterday was a lot worse than the one with Joe Hart.
See, this, I don't know if it was worse. This is the thing. We do this, we take incident A, incident B, we say that they're really, really similar and they're really comparable when sometimes they're not. Then we decide that one's much worse than the other, and we do end up going round in circle. John says, get your facts right, Gordon Duncan. Dan Casey didn't receive a yellow card until the 95th minute. I don't think I said anything to the contrary. I think Andy said he felt it should have been a yellow card in that initial instance. Anyway, let's take a breather and I'll tell you about this. Clyde One. Yes, Martin was fixing a digger when he got the Make Me A Winner call worth $152,000. How good does that sound? He's going to go to New York, he's going to build a garage at home, and so the cash will all come in handy. But you could be the winner of $154,000 when we make the next call. Text YES to 61025, £2 to text, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com. Online entry costs £2, or call 0330 880 4523 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £154,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. It's one of those really joyous Monday nights, full of mutual agreement and appreciation across Scottish football. Yes?
A ding dong, merrily on high.
0141 951 1025. Let's see what Andy in Motherwell has for us. How's it going, Andy?
Not too bad. Yourself, how's it going, Gordon?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, I'm just thinking tonight that I think everybody's gone a bit overboard with the referees. I think you see this type of thing up and down the country, all over Europe, actually. This thing seems to be happening, and I think everybody just needs to calm down. I think Rangers are going to lift the treble.
See, just on that, I think you made a really important point, Andy, so just before you move on, very quickly, I think, you know, it's easy to lose a bit of perspective. I switch on English football, and Nottingham Forest have hired a referee, what's he called, the guy for the Gladiators,
Mark Clattenburg.
I know his name, but I meant the title that they've given him, and there's all sorts of drama going on there. And I see Real Madrid kicking off because of an inexplicable red card that Jude Bellingham got, which is fine. Like, the beauty of football is we get to debate these things, but let's just all be conscious of that line. I've actually got a statement here on behalf of the Scottish Senior Football Referees Association saying extremely disappointed and concerned by a weekend of targeted and personalised criticism of its members. It's become too easy throughout the course of a season for managers and clubs to turn the focus onto match officials, often to deflect from team performance and results. We appreciate the importance of matches, etc. Match officials should be able to carry out their duties without fear of them impacting their personal lives, personal safety, and the safety and security of their families, and so on. Everyone involved in Scottish football has a responsibility to behave professionally, respectfully, and to understand the consequences of their actions.
You enter all sorts of areas there. You know, I do understand that referees are targeted, will receive hate mail, terrible phone calls to their homes, threats will be made to them. But do you necessarily lay that at the door of a manager or a player who criticises the referee's decision? That's society's problem. Is it necessarily?
But I think that's
football's
the point.
Problem?
It's you know, but there are ways to criticise fairly. But
what I also think is important, Gordon, is people can have their opinion on that.
Exactly.
On officiating in Scotland, absolutely.
We need them to, but in an appropriate way.
In an appropriate way, but see suggestion. She's suggesting, sorry, that our officiating is miles worse than south of the border, because believe me, I watch as much English Premier League football as I do Scottish football, and I've seen a lot worse decisions down there, by the way. And obviously the famous incident with Liverpool Tottenham, it's way off the mark for me. You can have your opinion, but listen, mistakes are made, as Andy quite rightly pointed out, across Europe and across world football. To suggest that our officials are way below the standard that south of the border for me is off the mark.
Anyway, Andy, let's do something radical. Let's finish this first hour by talking about, you know, like the actual football and the game and how it panned out at Ibrox on Saturday.
Well, to be honest with you, Gordon, I thought the big guy up front for Motherwell, I thought he actually bullied the Rangers' defence. And it was I think it was just one of those games where I think we could still be playing the new. And I won that game. Yeah, you know where I'm coming from, when it's just one of those games where nothing goes to plan for you. I think there should have been a red card in the game, and I'm not here to criticise anybody or anything, but I just feel as though there should have been a red card in that game and things could have been different. That's not to say can anything away from Motherwell. I thought they well deserved a victory on the day.
Andy, from obviously you were involved, you came on to shore things up.
I think people were debating how that was going to go over the next 15 minutes.
I was getting a lot of allegations that you were going to score an own goal. I know where your allegiances lie now. What did you think?
No, listen, I think Andy makes fair points. I thought Theo was outstanding. I thought he was a constant threat throughout. And, you know, it's that fine balance when people say you try and sit in frustrate. But I thought that we carried a threat throughout the full game. I thought we merited the two goals. And to be honest, probably had another couple of opportunities to score a couple more. Such was the threat we posed. That being said, listen, I thought Rangers had a lot of chances themselves. If they had, I know this... Cyril Dessers is this enigma that we talk about week in, week out. But if they do have that prolific number nine that Lauren Shankland, as Hugh quite rightly pointed out for me, is the best striker in Scotland right now, some of the two or three chances that fall, if they fall to him in the box, you know, it could have been a different scoreline. But listen, it's probably easy for me to say because I was on the right end of the result, but I actually thought it was a really, really entertaining game. I thought it was a great advert for Scottish football, even though there may be a couple of, you know, decisions that we debate. I thought it was a really good game. And listen, the last time Rangers lost a game of football against Celtic, they went on a 11-game run. If they do the same again, they win the league. And I'm sure they'll be trying to bounce back on Thursday against Benfica.
What can it do for you and your teammates? Is it
give us huge confidence for a start? Because I couldn't actually believe the stat when I heard after the game. It was 1997, the last time that Motherwell beat Rangers at Ibrox in the top flight. And I've already told you that playoff game doesn't count, so we're not counting that.
Oh, that counts, all right.
So listen, it was a fantastic achievement. I think Stuart Kettlewell, the manager, says after the game, and quite rightly so, you had to suffer at times because, of course, Rangers are an excellent side. They're on good form at the moment, but obviously it will give us huge belief moving forward in these run of games. If we can, you know, snatch enough points to make the top six, it'll be a fantastic couple of months we've had.
Thank you to Andy. It's that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, a bit of fun. Just when you think the joy has been sucked right out of Scottish football, let's have a bit of fun. 01419511025. Your chance to take on Andy Halliday or Hugh Keevans at Beat the Pundit. You have to get your call in before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 that 951-1025. That's the number you need. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Lots being said. If you want to try something a bit different and talk about the actual football rather than refereeing decisions at the weekend, you can do. But it is up to you. Get your calls in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's a fresh slate, a clean slate, a fresh week. Are you ready for the challenge?
I had two wins last week.
You did? He had to play three times last week. He was in on emergency duty, played three times. Two wins, one defeat.
What's his percentage for the season?
Actually, don't know if I've got it.
You're better than what people say, Hugh.
Over 70%.
74.
There you go.
And you've done the 10. So there we go.
Only two pundits done 10 this year, that right?
No, Kenny, Hugh, Marvin and Mark.
I never knew Mark. I forgot Marvin.
It's incredible that you've not, to be fair. But there we go. Right, anyway, let's meet tonight's contestant, Ali in Thornley Bank. How's it going, Ali?
How's it going, guys?
Would you rather take on Andy Halliday just to try and send out some sort of statement, or do you want the easier, no offence, Hugh Keevans?
No, I'll go for Halliday, go for it.
We'll see. You don't actually get to choose. I was just being curious. Heads it is Hugh and tails it's Andy. It is heads. It's Hugh Keevans up against Ali in Thornley Bank. So what we'll do is give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear what's going on. Ali, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay? 30 seconds then on the clock, and your time starts now. How many red cards were handed out in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
One.
What type of building appears on the Hibs badge?
Pass.
What was the last year both Celtic and Rangers lost in the same weekend?
2018.
How many league games has Neil Warnock lost as Aberdeen manager?
4.
Lewis Ferguson scored the winner for Bologna against which team at the weekend?
Hellestrona.
Who's got more assists this season in the league, James Tavernier or Luis Palma?
Tavernier.
Peter Murphy's the current manager of which SPFL club?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
What were you listening to there?
Well, it's a nice lady, but I've no idea what the song was or who she was.
Have no idea either.
It
no,
might be Craig Levine's niece.
Avril? No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was. Are you ready?
Okay.
Right, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many red cards were handed out in the Scottish Premiership this weekend?
Two.
What type of building appears on the Hibs badge?
Castle.
When was the last year both Celtic and Rangers lost in the same weekend?
2005.
How many league games has Neil Warnock lost as Aberdeen manager?
6.
Lewis Ferguson scored the winner for Bologna against which team at the weekend?
Oh, pass.
Who's got more assists this season in the league, James Tavernier or Luis Palma?
Tavernier.
Oh.
What's the verdict, Ali?
Don't know.
How many red cards were handed out in the Premiership at the weekend? Yang, in case you hadn't heard, and Lewis Mayo for Kilmarnock. It was 2-1. Hugh Keevans. Kelly are appealing that. Will they win it?
No.
Oh, you?
Yes.
Ooh, right, wow. Okay. We'll find out in the coming days. What type of building appears on the Hibs badge? It's a castle. 2-0 Hugh Keevans. He's running away with it. Until the last year that both Celtic and Rangers lost on the same weekend, 2018.
Ooh. I just said it 5 minutes ago, so it's good that Hugh was
he's listening to you. Ali got it. How many league games has Neil Warnock lost as Aberdeen manager? It's 4. And Ali got it.
Two all.
Lewis Ferguson scored the winner against
Atalanta.
None of you got it. We're still level. And you both fell for it. James Tavernier. I feel like most people maybe think he had more. He's got 8 in the league. Palma's got 9. So it was Luis Palma. And Ali had the chance to win it with Peter Murphy is the manager of which SPFL club? Annan Athletic. Which means we're off to the tiebreaker. We have had a lot of tiebreakers so far this season. Here's the deal. I will read the question. I'll get Hugh to write his answer down, Ali, and then I'll invite you to give me your attempt. Okay?
Okay.
How many, very topical, how many red cards have been dished out in the SPFL Premiership so far this season? If you could write it down, Hugh, how many red cards in the SPFL Premiership this season? Ali, what are you going for?
22.
Ooh, okay. 22 says Ali. Hugh says 31. One of you is 3 away, and one of you is 6 away. And I can tell you, the winner of the Money Can't Buy sign ball is Ali. The answer is 25. Only 3 out. Well done, Ali.
Well done, Ali.
Yeah, thank you. Cheers.
Superb. Well done. The sign ball is on its way to Thornley Bank. Would you have got that? 25.
I'm so bad at tiebreakers.
What would you have
got? I wrote 36. I'm dreadful.
That's not terrible,
at tiebreakers.
I don't know. I have no idea what I would have guessed for that.
36. You've done me as well.
What does that work out at? How many games have we played? Many match days,
we
if you like.
Played, am I right in saying 27?
Yeah, about that. So, what? Like, just averaging, just kind of just one under
maths
one.
Maths is not my strong point.
Nearly one a match day is what I was trying to get. You don't need maths to tell you that 25 is close to 28.
I didn't think you were going match day. I thought you were going
games. No. Anyway, right. 01419511025. That's the number you need. So, get your calls in. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Alexander is a Rangers fan in the East End. How's it going?
Yeah, all good. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. What have you got for us tonight?
Right, listen, I don't think MD's mentioned over the weekend about the actual standard of the football, both in the Celtic game and Rangers game. So it was just basically paying credit to the standard of the games between the two, Motherwell, obviously, and Hearts. Don't know what you guys think about that.
Like it a lot. I agree. Listen, I said when I came in today, I thought the criticism of Rangers and Celtic, even though they didn't win the game, was over the top. Listen, I never thought tonight was going to be a night where we were going to analyse the game further, but I thought Celtic were a lot better than people gave them credit for. Going down 10 men, I thought they had plenty of passes of play, really good opportunities. I think everyone agreed that Xander Clark had a fantastic game. Then on the flip side again, on Saturday, I thought Rangers played really well at times. I mean, what was it, 31 shots? again, you know, Hugh doesn't like me talking about XG, but they must have had a high XG, a number of big opportunities. And again, I've gave my performer of the weekend to Liam Kelly for a specific reason. He stopped Rangers scoring certainly more goals than one. So, and then obviously we've gave them plenty of credit, but Hearts, excellent, controlled the game for periods, albeit against the 10 men. And then obviously ourselves on Saturday went with a game plan to try and frustrate and be a threat going the other way. And I thought it was two really entertaining games.
I was asked to pick the team of the weekend for Super Scoreboards online, and I did not put a Celtic or a Rangers player in it. And I paid tribute in the selection of that team to Motherwell, to St Mirren, in the form of Olasanya, to Kilmarnock in the form of Robbie Deese. And, you know, I think if Rangers lose to Motherwell for the first time at home since 1997, I don't think that the Motherwell players should get credit, not the Rangers players. And if Celtic go there to Tynecastle yesterday, and, you know, the players like Shankland have an outstanding game, I didn't believe in giving the credit to the two winning teams.
Yeah, I mean, Alexander, from your point of view then, from Rangers, it had been 11 wins in a row. The defence had been very good. Both of those things sort of changed. Is that just a one-off? Is that a blip? What do you read into the performance?
I think so, but again, I think I need to take it back to giving credit to Motherwell, because I thought they showed a lot of intent very, very early doors. They got into the back line pretty well, and the big boy up front, I can't remember his name.
Theo Bear.
I thought he was class. I thought he led the line very, very well, and he looked very dangerous. No, wasn't it just one or two? Obviously scored two, right enough, Motherwell. But I thought they looked dangerous every time they went forward. I mean, the balls that they put into the box for corner kicks, every one of them were bang on the money. And they looked really dangerous every time they went forward. So you've got to pay credit to them.
We quite often, Gordon, get Old Firm fans phoning up praising the other team's game plan when they've won 5-0. It's very, very rare we get people praising the opposition's game plan when they've actually took points off the Old Firm. So
what is the key? Is he on that then, Theo Bear? Is the key? Oh, sounds kind of obvious to carry a threat. You know, loads of teams are obviously going to go there to Ibrox with Rangers on that form. You know that you're going to have to defend a bit. Your keeper's probably going to have to make saves. Yep. Rangers are probably going to have to miss chances. But you'll probably still get worn down and lose 1-0 or 2-0 if you can't carry a threat up the other end. Is that something you guys felt going there in Theo Bear and in Blair Spittle and Lennon Miller to provide him, and Jack Vale and the impact he's made coming into the team?
Well, we're the third highest goal scorers in the league for a reason, because I think that's exactly what we do. We carry a threat in the final third of the pitch. But listen, Alexander's right. The game plan, clearly for anybody watching at the start of the game, was to actually get after Rangers and make it difficult early on. Quite often what happens though, when you go 1-0 up, you try and sort of hold on to what you've got, and such as Rangers' quality, it then sort of pins you back at times. But listen, it's not just sort of carry a threat in terms of being athletic and running behind, but Theo, he was a platform for everybody else to get up the pitch at times, you know, hold on to the ball for 2-3 seconds, allow runners in behind, and then play from there. And, you know, there was 2-3 scenarios where he finds himself in great positions to maybe lay somebody else on, that could be another chance or another goal. But listen, I touched on it earlier, we also had to suffer at times. We had to, you know, be penned in and defend for a lease and throw bodies in front of the ball, and then, you know, Philippe Clement described it after the game as Rangers just maybe running out a wee bit of luck, and you can see that because they had the opportunities, they just didn't quite manage to put them away. A lot of that was down to obviously not just being a bit more ruthless and poor finishing in the box.
I'm thinking back to the programme on Saturday. You are having palpitations as 8 minutes are added on at Ibrox.
You're not meant to tell anybody that. We're not live streaming on a Saturday.
That's okay.
People can't see.
There's no shame in it.
I was perfectly professional.
You're a self-confessed Motherwell fan and have been since birth.
One of my mates texted to say that he couldn't watch it anymore. It was just too tense. It was just relying on me to keep him up to speed. And Andrew McLean was telling us from Ibrox, but anyway.
And then we had the astonishing finish at Paisley, where Aberdeen think that they've got the victory under Neil Warnock, and then not only do they concede an equaliser, there's still time for a winner from Olasanya for St Mirren. And then we had Robbie Deese snatching a point for Kilmarnock up at Dens. It was a very, very exciting day of football. And then yesterday we slipped into the old ways about who's biased against who and all the rest of it. But Alexander on the line is correct. Out with the Old Firm. A lot of teams gave us a lot of excitement and some nail-biting finishes at the weekend.
Were you having palpitations the last 5 minutes of Clyde Bank Darvo at the weekend?
Well, no, I thought that was... We've slipped a bit, you know. I need to have a word with Moff the manager. I'm thinking of going in and giving a motivation speech.
Oh, I'm sure that's just what they're looking for. Alexander, is there any concern that maybe sort of injuries in certain areas starting to catch up a little bit, or like you said, is it definitely just a blip?
Probably a bit of both, to be honest, Gordon. I think you look at the injury list, and it all seems to be kind of forward line. I mean, I thought we rode a luck a lot. Sorry, Motherwell rode a luck a lot on Saturday, but I don't think we created massive amounts. I know there was 30-odd shots on target or whatever, but I still think we're missing that wee bit of creativity in there, just to kind of break those low blocks. And I think maybe too much rotation as well. But then on the flip side of that, I don't think there's much you can actually bring on either, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, Alexander, you've contradicted me. I said to Andy earlier on, no one will ever mention low block tonight, but you've done it.
It happened.
I think that's arguably more worrying than the result on Saturday just now, is Rangers' lack of options in that final third. You look at the injury list, that's Cortez now added to it. They've still got Sima out, Matondo out, Danilo out, Cantwell out. You know, so many influential players in the final third of the pitch. And at the weekend, you've got a young boy, Ross McCausland, that's actually getting relied on week in, week out. He's now injured. And Dujon Sterling, who's a right-back, centre, mid-centre-half, wherever it may be. So they're sort of running out of options who can play in the forward areas.
Let's bring you the thoughts of Philippe Clement. Here's what he had to say on the game.
We didn't start the game well. We had a lot of chances, but it was a day that, was the opposite, I think, from the day that we had a week ago. A week ago, the balls went in the corner. We had great efficiency. We had great quality in our finishing. And today it went or a few centimeters next to the post, or there was a goalkeeper who made a few really good saves, or there were people on the line saving balls. And then the second ball fell then just in the feet of the opponent. So, yeah, that's that part of football that you don't control. That's that part of football that is luck that you need in circumstances. And it's our job to, in the next weeks and the next months, to push the luck so many times, as much as possible, to our side. And then we're gonna start a new series of games.
The actual dynamics...
interesting from Philippe Clement. I just wonder how much, Andy, this impacts on Rangers, given that they've got to go to Lisbon on Thursday, play a Benfica side who got a hiding.
Trounced.
At the weekend, lost 5-0 to Porto.
Well, we talked about the lack of options they've got in the final third, and we've seen that Philippe Clement likes to rotate his squad, he likes to make 3-4 changes. I don't see how he can this weekend. Yeah. I don't envisage Raskin playing, because obviously he was taken off at half time because by all means they obviously weren't happy with his first half performance, but unfortunately for Rangers just now, I think the final third is they're sort of stuck with what we've got considering with the injuries.
If you were in a team that lost 5-0 and then you had a European tie coming up, it's not exactly a confidence booster.
I think in such a big game as well, where it's almost that, you know, it's the rivalry, it's the two clubs that are going for the same trophies year in, year out, it's obviously a really, really difficult result to bounce back from. But I mean, Benfica have spent upwards of, I think it's 60 million this summer. I think over 200 million over the last three seasons. It's a team that's full of quality. I think it was, for me, one of the toughest draws that Rangers could have possibly got, albeit they're not in their best form at the moment. And I think Rangers, you know, to get through the tie, I think need a positive result on Thursday or one that's very, very close.
And then it's Hibs away in the Scottish Cup. Now, Hibs have just started to pick up a little under Nick Montgomery. So it's a demanding sequence of games for Clement.
I think Hibs are interesting just now. I feel as if they've almost turned a corner since the defeat against Celtic. It was the first time that Nick Montgomery had changed his shape since his tenure. Obviously from the 4-4-2 he went to 4-2-3-1. They seem a lot more controlled out of possession. They seem as if they've got a lot more options going forward. They've had a massive week, two wins and a draw, obviously getting the point against Hearts at Tynecastle, and then the two wins sandwiched either side of that. And they, for me, from the outside looking in, it feels as if they've changed, turned a corner. You could argue they actually should have won the game against Hearts at Tynecastle. I think they look a lot more dangerous. But listen, no, Rangers gave them a good scene to almost 3-4 weeks ago when they went to Easter Road. They're obviously struggling with personnel going to end this, so I see the game being a lot tighter, but I still make Rangers favourites for it.
Come on.
Gary on the line. Let's welcome Gary on the line to see what the next point is. Gordon Duncan.
Hi there. Hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Andy.
How are you doing, Gary?
Everybody that phones in speaks with colour-tainted specs on. We all know that. My specs are claret and amber, so you know where I'm coming from. Last time I phoned in, we beat a Glasgow Giant 6-1 in aggregate, but we'll leave that to the side just now. On the back of this weekend, I'm astonished in two accounts. I've got a main point to make, but I'm astonished in two accounts. Number one, the silly talk around whoever wins the Old Firm games will win the league. And my simple observation, Celtic have won the last two Old Firm games, yet Rangers are 2 points ahead. So let's have no more silly talk that patronises my team and other teams. And thank you, Hugh, for saying that Motherwell deserves credit on Saturday, and the Rangers fan who gave Motherwell credit. The second thing, the air of superiority that surrounds the two Glasgow Giants when teams like Motherwell or Hearts dare to win games against them. The fault is never with them. It's the officials that decided the game, the establishment, VAR referees the game, luck, poor Scots sportsmanship. They kicked our superstars off the park. Please, the Old Firm get more than their fair share of bad decisions in their favour. And I've seen enough Old Firm hard men kick many a Motherwell player and other players off the park.
You're telling us, Gary, Andy Halliday, I said it before, he's got a broken nose, he's got an arm in the face, well, he's got a broken nose.
It's great.
And it's Motherwell that are the hammer throwers, Gary.
Aye. Okay. My season ticket's right behind the dugout at Stuart, with Stuart Kettlewell and Thiel. And it's great to have you, Andy, at Firth Park. But I think they had their tactics and their management spot on, both Hearts and Motherwell at the weekend, and they deserved their victories. But my main point is how well Stuart Kettlewell and Steve Friel have done this year. They've had to rebuild the team, deal with a horrific injury list. No matter what the Old Firm say about their injury list, you should look at Motherwell's. A player from a superstar team recalled early, and he has done incredibly well, and he has my full support. Motherwell, I think, are getting what they deserve over the last couple of few games. They've deserved to win more games. They took Celtic to the wire in a couple of games too.
I don't know, Gary, if you were listening at the very start, I nominated Stuart Kettlewell as my man of the weekend because you know, five managers in the Premiership lost their jobs since the start of this season, and many people, your own fellow Motherwell fans included, thought that Stuart Kettlewell should be number six. But he's hung in, held his nerve, made good signings, and got his reward, the high-profile reward at Ibrox on Saturday. So, you know, I applaud the job that he has done.
And I can't believe it. It's been brought to my attention that the Rangers player that broke your nose is now posting pictures on his Instagram of him being fouled. Can we get a picture of the nose break? We all want to see it. We want to see the big squashed beak that Andy Halliday had. If you could, that would be...
been spotting that for a few years.
That would be brilliant. Thanks very much to Gary, Motherwell fan. Let me tell you about this.
Alexander.
Clyde Gary. One. Live. Celebrating the first 50 years.
See, you had the mic for 1 minute and it was going so well, and then you blew it. The responsibility on this side of the desk is too much for you to handle. Anyway, Callum Beattie's been announced as our second act for Clyde One Live. He's going to join Amy McDonald at the Ovo Hydro on Friday, 31st May. You can get your tickets now at ClydeOne.com. But there's going to be another act announced just after 8 on Bowie at Breakfast this Wednesday. So get the date in your diary, 31st of May, Clyde One Live at the Hydro, and you can buy tickets at ClydeOne.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. You can get in touch on 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. I have, genuinely, and I don't say this lightly, what I think could be the most ridiculous full-time teaser.
In what way?
of all time? Let's find out.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
Right, let's we'll just have a bit of fun with it. I'll only give you some because the Crazy Pony's looking.
I don't like this.
And I know, neither do I really. The Crazy Pony's looking for 11 answers. There is no way I could do that to you, right? Just the look on Andy Halliday's face when I deliver this. We're looking for 1, 2, 3, 4. The last five Old Firm players whose surnames would score 22 or more points in a game of Scrabble.
Come on. I've never played Scrabble in my life.
No, explain that.
The last five Old Firm players whose surnames would score 22 or more points in a game of Scrabble.
What do you need to do to get 22 points?
I know.
Right, just as an example, I'm not going to go through.
Full name or second name?
Just surname. I'm not going to go through it all, but basically 10 points would be like Q or Z. So if you can identify some Qs, some Zs.
Zalalem.
No. J and X are worth 8 points. So maybe like think Js and Ks and Zs and Xs. I'm only asking for 5.
That's mental.
You think so?
Zalalem's no one.
Nope.
Z. Zalioukas.
Nope. They're all actually from the last couple of seasons, really. I'll let you think about that. See if you get none. That's fine.
Oh no, it's for the hash.
I'll leave that with you. Should I save this for Thursday night for Mark Wilson and Gordon DL?
Well, let's batter through it.
Just think long names, basically. And if you can
Carter
think
Vickers.
Yes, Andy Halliday. You're not as daft as you look. There we go. Carter Vickers. 24 points in a game of Scrabble.
That's what
did
I was
you know?
Ask.
Hey, you've only got 4 to get. Let's bring in Kevin, who's on the line. How's it going, Kevin?
Not too bad.
What you got for us tonight?
This evening I'm phoning. Right, yesterday's game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The referee gave a yellow card, right, for the high boot.
Yep.
Now, see, if you look at that and slow it down, that his boot didn't even touch his head. And they went back and gave a red. So you tell me if I'm wrong, does his boot touch his head?
I think it did, yeah.
And the action, I'll tell you what, in the action that was going on Saturday with the Rangers players, I'll tell you what, they're going for somebody in the pavilion.
So you don't think there was any contact between Yang and Alex Cochran?
No, no contact whatsoever.
Hugh, you thought there was?
Muffney's flat too high, right? That was fair enough. But Mr. Dean had to come in and get a cut.
See all this again though for the umpteenth time. We know that John Beaton was the VAR. Don Robertson, within the last couple of months, has shown he is willing to go over to a monitor and stand by his own decision. I feel like we're kind of picking individual officials to try and make a certain point. The whole point of VAR, and I know people don't believe it, and I know that yes, more often than not, when they go to the monitor, they do overturn their decision. The final decision rests with the referee.
Yeah.
Dujon Sterling's red card, Don Robertson was the ref, he went to the monitor and he stood by his own decision. So the refereeing team they're a team for a reason. The ref makes the final decision. You're allowed to disagree with it. I think that's fine. But to pin it solely on a VAR is not right.
I think we're in for a very uncomfortable week because you read out earlier a statement from the Referees Association, and we know that Brendan Rodgers will be called before the SFA to explain himself for the use of the word incompetent. We're in for a very difficult weekend. I think Kevin sums it up in a way because, he saw an incident that none of us saw. I mean, there was contact.
Did it touch his head, Andy? That's what Kevin wants to know.
It certainly looked like it to me. I would need to see the slowed down version Kevin's talking about.
See, this is the bit. This is where eventually you do reach a, you know, like, you kind of button heads. If Kevin says there was no contact and you two say there were,
yeah,
I don't know. Can't make Kevin.
Well, I mean, in the business of slowing it down, that's what Clydesdale House is for. That's what they're doing there. They're looking at it and they're presumably going through all sorts of technological trickery and trying to get to the root of the matter. But there seemed obvious contact. Cochran may have overdone the contact.
See, just to open up another angle here, Andy, going back to something that many people have said about how it would be, and I don't mean this in any sort of, I think some people do mean it in a kind of sinister and accusatory way, from a nosiness point of view, and for real clarity, it would be nice to hear, I think, wouldn't it? And that's not the referee's fault here. It's not the Scottish FA's fault. IFAB, as it stands.
Are you talking about the dialogue?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree completely.
As it stands, it's not the done thing. We can't just turn on the speakers at Clydesdale House next week and we'll just decide to let everybody hear it. We don't have the power to do that here. But I think that one would be an interesting example because, as Kevin says, Don Robertson does see something. Yep. So what does he see that he thinks is a yellow? And what's the bit that he's not seen that turns it into a red? Does that make sense? So when he decides to give the yellow, what does he then additionally see when he goes to the screen that he didn't notice in the first place?
Yeah, and again, it was when we sort of have the meetings at the start of the season with the Referees Association, they sort of explained that to us. And I think it's good in terms of clarity for players as well, because you can then grasp an understanding of why they come to decisions. And I think it would be great if fans can sort of hear the process of why they make these decisions. But you're right in saying that's not an SFA problem. That's not a Scottish Referees. That's IFAB as a whole. So hopefully, listen, whether people like it or not, I think VAR's here to stay, and I think it will be for a long period of time. I do think there's tweaks needed, and I think that would be a really welcome addition. And I think it would give the refs, the fans, a lot more understanding and refs of why they come to decisions. And even as players, I've said to you before, you then have these dialogue with players and referees on the pitch, and they even say sometimes, you know what, mate, I got that wrong. No, VAR will pick it up. And again, I'll allow fans into that sort of side.
Again, to just try and play devil's advocate on the penalty, I think the vast majority of people don't think that Celtic should have got a penalty. It is not my aim to change anyone's mind. But again, I would like to know what that process is, because if that process is, well, I think there's a little bit of, there is a bit of contact, isn't there? But then you're arguing over who initiates
Cochrane and
contact.
Yeah.
And then to go back to the most frustrating part of VAR,
clear and obvious error.
Does that constitute a clear and obvious error once you go and it would be nice to hear what that bit sounded
which
like.
Which again is what I completely agree, which is sort of a point I brought up in one of these meetings was, you know, why was that overruled and why did you come to that decision? Why did the referee not be sent to the monitor? And that was exactly why. It's because the referee in question will be in dialogue with the VAR room and tell them what they see. If the VAR room believe that the way he's described the incident is exactly what they're kind of watching, then they won't send them to the monitor as a clear novice error. On the flip side, if he describes what isn't really reflected in the replays, it's obviously why they send them to the monitor. So I think, I completely agree with you. I think dialogue will clear a lot of things up. I think it will give fans a lot more clarity watching. And again, it's similar to rugby, I suppose, and that's, to me, we brought in VAR for TMO.
That went well in the Six Nations, didn't it?
I am terminally cynical.
Good
I think
you.
If they get
really?
if they get the audio, they will then say, he was trying to influence the referee.
But to be fair, he is, and you know, we can't not do it because a selection of people will take it the wrong way, because they take everything the wrong way. You can't let the lunatics take over the asylum.
I appreciate that, but it adds another layer of bias to it all. And I mean bias on the part of those who are accusing officials of being this, that and the other. They see it, they don't accept it, and then if they hear it, they'll accept it even less, because they'll say, oh, he was desperate to give a penalty there, and so on and so forth. As I say, we're in for a very, very uncomfortable week, and we'll soon have the trial of Brendan Rodgers to add to it all.
Yang's appeal, that'll be good fun as well. Yeah. I think we'll get the same amount of calls about Lewis Mayo's appeal.
No, I don't think so. But as I stated earlier, I don't think he'll win that. So
that would be the bit about the camp. I don't mind that. I've said it before. There's a supply and demand element. It's not lost on me that Rangers and Celtic fans barneying about decisions is what makes this show. It's what keeps the lights on in here. But if we could all just, when we at least notice that Kilmarnock have got that grievance and that St Mirren have got a grievance and they've had an apology from the SFA, should that not at least be enough to make people realise it's not all about you? Your team is not being There's a widespread concern.
The Motherwell fan who called earlier, and Alexander, I think, was a Rangers fan, who wanted more attention paid to the excitement of the football, and the Motherwell fan wanted acknowledgement of the fact that bad things happen to Motherwell as well as Celtic and Rangers.
Too right.
That's all very well, but as you said yourself, Gordon, that there are more Celtic and Rangers fans than any other type, and that lends to the fact that the noise coming from them is always greater.
Yeah, see, I get that, but it doesn't lend to the fact that, like, this idea that it's only your team, whoever that team is, that it's only your team that gets it.
I'm sure people can appreciate, though, it's a West of Scotland, it's a West of Scotland radio station, but we're talking about handball instance with Awata. I'd love to have seen the St Mirren's fans forum last week after the game against Ross County, because, I mean, that is, that for me is probably worse, to be honest. And I've gave my opinion on the Awata scenario. So, no, listen, it's certainly that feeling up and down the country.
It's all good fun. Thank you, Kevin. I think Adam is on. How are you, Adam?
Yeah, not too bad. How are we, final?
Not bad. What Adam, have you got for us?
Obviously, we've had 24 hours since it's happened. It's still nobody can decide on this or that. People are giving referees a hard time, but they've got to try and do this within 60 seconds, a minute and a half. And they still can't get it right, and people are trying to judge them for that. They're only human. They make errors.
You've introduced a humanitarian point of view, which will immediately be thrown out by every Celtic supporter who watched or attended yesterday's game at Tynecastle. We are.
Like, you'd be wrong on that one, because I'm a Celtic supporter as well, and I was watching it yesterday.
Exactly. See, on that though, Adam, right, because, like, I think people know I generally want at least a sort of calm debate about these things, but does there become... Let's take the two then, one for each. Or you know, the Awata handball, I think everyone can kind of agree, you know, deep down. I think everybody agrees that's probably not a penalty, isn't it? So it's, yes, we can at times let referees off the hook by saying, look how difficult it is. Everybody's disagreeing. Nobody can make their mind up. I feel like everybody can make their mind up on that. And probably the penalty Celtic were awarded as well. We've had loads of Celtic fans on saying that was never a penalty. Either he really just didn't like the question. When he's gonna, do you know what? The line was breaking up before that. I had a feeling that that might happen. We'll try and get him back on if we can. Right. The weirdest teaser of all time. Can you name the five former Old Firm players who've got a score?
Oh, former?
Oh, no, sorry. Just former. Well, they all happen to be former anyway. Sorry to burst your bubble. The last five Old Firm players whose surname gives them a score of 22 or more on Scrabble. I mean, what a question. Carter Vickers.
There's no one.
Haks Ivanovic.
Outstanding, Hugh Keane.
26 points on the Scrabble board. Well done. Yilmaz would be a 20, I'm afraid.
So it's got to be more than 20?
More than 22. 22 or more.
All right, okay. Right, well, that rules it.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be an X in here.
The other three are all X.
Right. How?
And by the way, he said he has not included South Koreans because they're commonly known by just their first names.
Yeah.
Okay. Give you some thinking time. We'll be back next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the home straight of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday. It was quite an intense start to the show, so I thought we'd make it even more intense by giving them this teaser. Can you name the last five Old Firm players whose surnames would score 22 or more in a game of Scrabble? Now, I must admit, I don't really play Scrabble. I wouldn't really know what that meant. So to simplify it, give us guys who've got long surnames with like Z's and X's and J's and K's in them, that sort of thing. So can you tell me, before the break, you got Haks Ivanovic and Carter Vickers. I can tell you, Matthew's got one on Twitter. Owen has got a cracker. But I fear, Owen, that Andy Halliday got that during the break as well.
Matty Sikowski.
Who? Tell him, because he can't remember.
Rangers fullback.
I'm sure they signed him for Lech Poznan.
Did he play?
If he did, it was maybe once or twice, yeah.
Ooh, anyway, any more guesses just now? Two to get before the end? No?
Jan Venegar of Hessling.
Nah, too far back. Way too far back. Just very quickly to mark your card about something else. I told you about this at the end of last week, but I'll keep reminding you. Clyde One have actually teamed up with Allied Vehicles to help them find some new technicians to join their team, be brilliant if Hugh Keevans, who couldn't drive, went and learned how to be a technician at Allied Vehicles. But anyway, they are already specialists in Ford and Peugeot. They're going to expand to take on Citroen and Vauxhall, so there's going to be day and night shifts available. And if you fancy it, you can find out details about the roles, salaries, shift patterns, how to apply, all that sort of stuff at Clyde1.com. Let's bring in Jason in Greenock. How's it going, Jason?
Hello, Hugh. Hello, Gordon.
You're
hello, Hugh. And hello, Andy.
Jason, what are you thinking just tonight?
Just a wee point. The refereeing decisions over the weekend, mm-hmm. everyone's going on about the refereeing decisions, how it's one-sided this and one-sided that. But when you look at it, for starters, the McCausland one with Dan Casey. Dan Casey has won the ball clearly. He's come through and he's hurt McCausland. A wee bit like the Stirling incident, from my point of view, I would say that's a red card. I don't know, obviously Andy has already said that it's not a red card. And a lot of ones have went the exact same way. But just from my point of view, I would have said it's a red card because of the impact of how quick...
Excessive force.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that's a big, huge talking point at mm-hmm. the moment. But I think it's 50-50 in regards to that. I would have said in my point of view, I would have said aye. It's a red card.
I think, Andy, does it... I don't know then, you take the scales of disappointment. It wasn't even a foul. First of all, it has to be a foul. And I don't know how this happened earlier, because you said earlier you think like a yellow would have been sufficient.
Yeah.
Somehow that's been translated as you and I saying Dan Casey got booked. I'm getting bombarded with tweets to say, get your facts right. I know fine well Dan Casey wasn't booked. We spoke about it loads on Saturday, if you want to listen back on the podcast. But I think Andy was making the point he felt a yellow would just about have...
Yeah. But listen, it's very difficult for me to argue with Jason. Jason's got his opinion. Sure. He's quite entitled to it. And you can certainly argue that the excessive force, which is a barometer for how referees make the decisions, mm-hmm. is there. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But, you know, I argued later. I don't want to go too far back, but I argued the case with Dujon Sterling where people were saying excessive force, it's there. But for me, I find it very, very difficult to say that tape of tackle, similar to Dan Casey's. I just don't see how you make mm-hmm. that tackle without excessive force. So, I stand by it. I think a yellow card would have sufficed.
It goes without saying, you would hope Ross McCausland's fine and
absolutely,
recovers
yeah.
quickly and all that sort of stuff. I do sometimes wonder, though, when we then put emphasis on... I mean, he left the stadium on crutches. That's... I don't know if we can... Can you take that into account when you're trying to, in the moment, analyse what a tackle is like?
If you sent off everyone that resulted in someone being injured in a tackle, I mean, there would certainly be more than, what was it, 22 red cards this season that he gave us on the full-time teaser. So, listen, it's extremely unfortunate, and I hope he's okay. I think he's been a young boy that's came in and had probably too much burden on him to play a lot of games than maybe what's expected of him, but I think he's done very, very well.
Have I maxed out my quota of mentions that somebody broke your nose in that game and nobody said
exactly
anything about it? Am I allowed to moan about that again?
That was absolutely not a red card, but if you use the argument that every injury results in a red card,
a wee word would have been nice. A wee word. Jason, are you on a kind of football angle, Ross McCausland, if that is going to be a slight injury, even added to Sima and Matondo and Cortez and various others in that type of area, are Rangers looking a bit short?
It's a major worry. It is a major worry. Maybe we'll need to get Andy back to get him back in a Rangers shirt again.
Things will not be that desperate. We're not giving him back anyway. Hugh, what do you think?
It's interesting to get Philippe Clement's take on these things, because twice now, with regard to Todd Cantwell and to Ross McCausland, he has referred to players getting kicked off the park. Mm. So clearly he finds Scotland a bit agricultural.
Yeah, but actually no, because he was also asked, and I've been there, and I know journalists are wanting a line, as you well know. I remember I was in a press conference when he was specifically asked if he felt that it was more physical or whatever here than in Belgium, and he said no.
Well, he's used the emotive phrase kicked off the pitch, so you know, clearly not all of it sits well with him.
Even at that, yes, I know Todd Cantwell was in the receiving end of some heavy tackles, but I think he's out with a muscle injury, is he not?
He wasn't kicked to
injury, as far as I can gather. Not to say that, you know, he wasn't in the receiving end of some heavy tackles, but that's what I'm talking about. When you then take the end injury and sort of join it on to the the challenge.
But it's definitely a worry when you look at the list of players they've got injured, especially with two massive games coming up in the space of 4 days in two different competitions. They're going to Portugal on Thursday. We're already down to the bare bones, really. And like we touched on earlier, you know, we've seen that Philippe Clement is someone that likes to keep freshness within the team. I just don't see where he can do that, especially with those two, three players that they probably would like to take in the plane on Thursday that aren't even in the squad.
Well, that's true. Thanks very much to Jason. Right, we've made it pretty much to the end of the show. We've barely discussed the football in the games involving Rangers and Celtic, never mind getting round to the other results. So hopefully we can do that tomorrow. If there was a third standout game in a number of ways, does it have to be that finishing pace?
Yeah, purely for the finish, yeah.
And for what it means to Aberdeen as well.
The sensational goal scored by Conor Barron. And you know, you think Aberdeen are going to finally get some positivity about the place, and then it ends the way it ends. And you know, for me, the whole scenario concerning Neil Warnock is intriguing. If Aberdeen were of a mind to get rid of him, I think they would have done it by now, because they have to prepare for what's ahead. But they have two games that are at Motherwell, the next league game. That will not be an easy afternoon for them.
Not if Andy Halliday has his way.
And then they have Ross County, who are down there with them in potential candidates for the playoff final. So I think if they were going to change Neil Warnock, they would have done it now. So I suspect he's getting left to hold the fort until the bitter end. But things will need to turn around, because Kilmarnock, I think, will put them out of the cup at the weekend, and that will harden the attitude of the Aberdeen fans that they're not happy with the decision to bring in Neil Warnock. So it's a fraught end to the season for them. But I think at the weekend, David Friel and I were in agreement that if they lost at St Mirren, there was a decision to be made. Well, 48 hours have come and gone and no decision has been made. So I take it that Neil Warnock carries on.
There was drama and controversy across the board at the weekend with some of the games.
Yeah,
you look
finish.
At Dundee and St Johnson, own goals, red cards, last minute equalisers again, third time. Third time that Derek McInnes and his old assistant have shared a two each story.
They're deliberately
a wee
just sharing
before
out,
the game. Like, we'll take a point each and move on. But listen, it will not get talked about. But a big game at the foot of the table was St Johnson and Livingston. I think there was a really poor decision in that game as well.
Another one. Let's go.
We'll go through that one as well. But obviously, I think the third one that you asked, the standout, had to be St Mirren Aberdeen.
That was quick. Andy said at the top, we probably could extend the show. Unfortunately, not tonight. But the great thing is, you can listen to it all back in the podcast, watch it all back on the YouTube stream, and we're back tomorrow at 6. Thanks to Crazy Pony for this teaser. Who are the last five Old Firm players whose surnames score 22 or more on Scrabble? I mean, honestly, Zukowski, Haksabanovic, and Carter Vickers.
Did they have to have played?
Two former Celtic players remaining.
All right, that rules out that.
Is Aguirre?
No, that's a good shout, that, you know. I mean, it sounds like it's a good shout. I don't play Scrabble, but one striker. Right, here's the great thing, because he's replaced by a guy who'd be rubbish in Scrabble. He's replaced by Giakoumakis. Any centre halves that spring to mind? From the sort of...
is he Danish?
Yes.
Danish? Oh.
He is. I'm going to need it quickly.
Yeah. Sviatchenko,
well done. Thank you, Andy Halliday. Thank you, Hugh Keevans. And the biggest thanks to you for listening, for your patience, your calls and your tweets. Much appreciated as always. And we are back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I wonder what Gordon DL makes of the weekend's shenanigans. We'll find out at 6 tomorrow. Have a good night.